Can we go straight into the word of the Lord this morning? This month, we're doing a new series entitled The Father's Honor. It's a very important series for your life and mine. The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priest, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? Now he goes on to say, you have shown contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? Now, I started this series last week. Those of you that do join us online, you will find out that I've already preached the first leg of this message. And this morning, I'm just going to continue and maybe just encourage you to go online or to go on the cast box and find the message. Now, the title of the series, The Father's Honor, is based on the first line. A son honors his father. Then the second line is, if I am your father, where is the honor and respect I deserve? By father this morning, we're not just referring to a biological father, even though that is very much one of the big aspects that this message is about. But a father is basically an authority. So by implication, when we say father this morning, are you with me? We are referring to authorities. And there are different kinds of authorities. Come with me quickly to Romans 13, verse 1. Look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. Now, I want to draw your attention on the fact it doesn't say everyone must submit to governing authority. Authorities. What does that imply? There are many of them. Do you understand that? There are many authorities in our lives. And we need to submit to those governing authorities. Now, the Bible goes on to say, for all authority comes from where? Comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So whenever you see a person in a position of authority, you need to remind yourself, you are dealing with a person that has been entrusted the position, not by man, but by God. So whenever I come against an authority, I'm not coming against the person. I'm actually coming against the God who placed them there. I hope I'm still speaking. Now, the purpose of this message, you must remember, October is a month of honor to, now, across the world, the clergy, meaning the people that preach the word of God, people that God has entrusted with the word to preach. The month of October is the month of honoring them. Just like you have a month where you honor teachers, you have a month where you honor mothers, you have a month where you honor fathers. There's also a month where we honor pastors and people, priests, the Pope, all the people that take care of our spirits and our souls. Hallelujah. But I usually use this month to teach and train on very important life principles. So I would really encourage you to open your eyes and your ears and your heart so that you can receive. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, my desire is that at Alive Bible Church, every single branch, there will be a culture of honor in us. A culture of honor. A culture of honor. It is so important And as I keep going in this series, and really I want to encourage you, if you haven't listened yet to the first leg of this teaching, give it, like, make it a point that you will go and listen to it, or you will go and watch it. I want to thank those of you that have taken the time to do it. I think it's so important. Hallelujah. Now, a culture of honor in the book of Ephesians 6, verse 2, NLT, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you look at the Ten Commandments, they are given without promises. The first commandment says, you shall not have any other God apart from the Lord your God. That's it. The next commandment, you shall not make an image, you shall not carve an image of anything in the sky, on the earth, or under the earth, or in the sea. There's no promise. You shall not kill. No promise. You shall not steal. No promise. You shall not covet your brother's wife. No promise. You are just told instructions of what not to do. Do you understand? But the first commandment in the Bible, that comes with a promise, meaning with a reward attached to it. That if you do this, there will be a reward. Not that the Ten Commandments, obeying them, do not have a reward. It does have a reward. But it's just like this one, the reward is clear, is plain and clear before you. He says, this is the first commandment with a promise. And what is the promise? Look at the next verse. If you honor your father and your mother, look at this, things will go well for you. Say amen to that. How many of you would like things to go well? I think the verse is saying, if you work hard in school, things will go well for you. I think the verse is saying that if you have a big fat salary, things will go well for you. Wow. Tell your neighbor, you and I are not more clever than God. What God says is what will work. Do you understand that? Things, may things go well for you in the name of Jesus. But you see, there is a condition. I told you before, behind every curse, there is a cause. And behind every blessing, there is a condition. So now, the condition for things going well for you. It sounds simple, but it's not. If you honor your father and your mother, if, because there is no guarantee you will do it. And there are so many things that will come on the way to make you to never do it. There are so many things that you will come across. I wish you could listen to what I preached last week. Last week I preached on those who uncover their fathers. And last week I was teaching about people who focus on their father's mistakes. All the negative things their father has done. And that is all they know about their father. It's such an important message to listen. Such an important message. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you. That's the first thing. Now, I don't know any of you here that has had a good day. Ooh, from the moment you woke up, everything seems to just be lining up nicely for you. As soon as you stand by the roadside, the taxi is coming. And when you enter the taxi is playing the type of music you like. And the taxi is not too full, but the taxi driver is going exactly where you are going. He's not trying to gather more customers. Say with me, it's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day. The music is not too loud. And he's not looking for the last 15 rand everywhere in the whole of Liedak. And as soon as you arrive, maybe at Sun City, there is the person you were looking for the past 3 months. And you just meet them. Wow.
And when you go to work, everybody is happy to see you. Your manager says to you, "No, today, don't work the whole shift. Just work 5 hours and you can go home. It's your holiday." Say with me, it's a good day. It's a good day. It's a good day. Why do we say it's a good day? Things are going well. When you have a good day, things are going well. When you want to call somebody, as soon as you call them, they answer. The network is not bad. It's a good day. Things are going well. But how many of you have had a bad day? A bad day. Some of you are like, "Pastor, that is my life every day." I mean, every day is a bad day. Your story is about to change in the name of Jesus. Every day will be a good day. And he said, there's the condition for things to go well. Here's the condition. You want things to go well? You want every day to be a good day? Honor your father. Honor your mother. "And Pastor, me, I cannot honor that man. He's never done anything for me. He's been a very bad father. If there were more bad fathers like that, I think I would not even be alive." You see? That's why he said, "If." Because I tell you, there will be so many reasons why you will not want to do it. So he put a condition to it. If you honor it. Then the second thing, you will have a long life on earth. You will have what? A long life on earth. When you are young, you don't know the value of life. That's why a lot of young people are cutting their life short by drinking, smoking, because they do not realize every drink is cutting your life short. Something, that drink is going in your system and it is affecting something. You will not feel it today. You will not feel it tomorrow. You will not even feel it next week. And you can live for 20 years and not feel it. But a day is coming. When that drink, that alcohol, that smoke is now going to come back to say, "It's payday, it's payday. It's payday." No, I can tell you this with all confidence because I have experienced it live. Not the drinking part or the smoking part. By the grace of God, I have escaped that one. But how many of you know that even if you escape one, there's usually another one that is waiting for you? My biggest one has been candies. Because I grew up poor. For you to have a sweet, you needed to wait Christmas. Then you can have a sweet. So when finally sweet became available, I told myself, for all the years that I didn't have them, I'm going to revenge myself. I was on sweets. I've been on sweets. Any type of sweet. Even some of you are not helping me. When is my birthday? You are buying me sweets. You are buying me all kinds of things. But you know, as I will be taking this sweet, I said to myself, no, me. My teeth can never be affected. My teeth are made of iron. I can eat the whole candies of South Africa. I will be stable. And for many years, I will eat those sweets, and my teeth are saying, "You go, boy, we are here. We are strong. We are strong." And I said, I don't know why people are always complaining. When you eat sweet, you start complaining that you have a toothache. Me, my teeth are made of iron rods, iron teeth. My God. About 5 years ago, it started. I couldn't believe it. The pain knocked me at the back here. There is a day I made the biggest mistake of my life. They had cooked corn in the house. And I love corn. I forgot about the toothache. Because I think I was also hungry. So when the corn came, I didn't remember that I have a toothache. I went for the corn like a lion goes for an antelope. And a particular corn went straight where that tooth was. And I hammered it. Ah! The pain I felt. Do you understand? Like, I felt the pain and myself. I felt. No, it's a true story. My brother-in-law is not here. Shepherd Peter, he was going to tell. Because he was entering my room when I fell. He said, Daddy, what's wrong? I was numb. You know the type of pain that goes back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. And then it asks you, are you okay? Do you want more? My sweet eating had started paying back. And I wish I could tell you it has stopped. It hasn't stopped. Even as I'm talking to you now, I'm on painkillers to survive. This young man, he's waiting for me in his practice to go and remove about 2 or 3. If God has mercy on me, maybe only one will be removed. But when I was eating the sweets, something, you have iron teeth. When you take a bottle of cancer dry, you drink, the system is, your stomach is made of iron rod. Nothing will happen to you. Drink it. I'm talking to myself at ABC this morning, I'm telling you. This is free advice. It's for free. When you are young, all the systems are working and you think you have strength. Wait until you become 30. You're going to start paying. There's a lot of our parents, they are not even 60, but they can't walk again. They can't. The things they did, I've come to pay back. You can't live carelessly and live long. Today, it looks like you have everything ahead of you, but you don't. You are cutting it short every day. Yeah. As you are smoking, the guy said, your nose is made of iron rod. Your lungs are made of concrete. It's not true. Let's be wise. Now he says, if you want to live long, honor your father. Honor your mother. It's as simple as that. I repeat, your father and your mother, don't think about your biological. You see, if you are thinking only about your biological father, you will miss the verse. We're talking about authorities. Authorities. And there are many of them. Yes, in your house, it's a father and a mother. At school, there's a cool principal. In your class, there is a teacher. Then even further, there's a class prefect. As soon as you enter ShopRite, there's a manager. When you enter ShopRite, there are authorities inside that area. The till has an operator. And the Bible says, if you honor authorities, things will go well for you. At your workplace, there's a boss.
If you learn to honor authorities, things will go well. Things will go well. Why do things go well? Because when you go to ShopRite, you honor the person at the till, they serve you nicely. You honor the person that, everywhere you go, you honor. When you enter the taxi driver is the authority in the taxi. You start shouting at him, you're going to see something now that you never saw before. Honor the authorities and things will go well. You will not struggle. You see people that are struggling at work, they are always fighting the boss. They always have something to say against the boss. So the boss has made it a project. I will frustrate you. I will make your life a living hell here. Because the boss is speaking up, you are challenging him. Or you are challenging her. You are not honoring them. So things are not going well. At the class, you are challenging the teacher. When he says one, you say two, three. He has made a personal project to himself. I'm going to frustrate this child. Instead of you being the child that honors the teacher, when the teacher comes, even if the other students are sitting, you stand up. You collaborate with the teacher will start liking you. He will do almost anything to help you. In other words, things will go well for you. But you have joined the complainers in the workplace. When they are complaining at the canteen, you also go and join them and you start complaining about your boss. So when he gets report, your name is also mentioned among the names of the people that are rebelling against him. He's also involved. Okay, no problem. We shall see. That's the key. For things to go well, show honor. Show honor. And last week I taught, honor is from the heart. Not just words you are saying. Honor starts in their heart. I don't know about you, but many times when somebody is talking to me, I even feel like saying to you, please shut up. Like I know everything you are saying is a lie. We are all like that. God gave us that ability. You can recognize when somebody is just speaking. And you can also recognize when somebody is actually sincere. Honor is from the heart. And until honor comes from the heart, there's no blessing attached to it. So I can be saying, okay, daddy, good morning, daddy, good night, daddy. I'm just saying it. But my heart hates him. My heart is against him. I'm always criticizing him. I'm always opposing him. But I'm saying the right things. Everything, I'm saying all the right stuff. But in my heart, I'm against him. I'm against her. Things will not go well. Are you okay? In the church, there are authorities. There's a senior pastor, there's a shepherd, there's a cell leader, there's a constituency leader, there's a basanta leader. These are authorities that have been established. You can't treat them the way you like and expect things to go well. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. There's a way to behave to attract favor. That's the way. And not always be the person you always
Whenever your pastor prays about you, he's always praying with tears. When he prays for you, it's always, Lord, please help me forgive. Lord, please help me to forget. Like his prayers for you are always prayers of things that are wrong that he has to forgive and he has to forget. No, it's nice. Whenever your pastor thinks of you, all he says, Lord, bless her. Oh, Lord, bless him. Lord, increase him. Because his bowels are full of joy towards you. It's a terrible thing when every time your mother thinks about you, the thoughts she has of you are bad thoughts. Bad thoughts. Thoughts of, my Lord, please help me to not remember the things she has done today. But what a blessing it is when every time your father and your mother thinks of you is nice thoughts. And they say, oh Lord, the way my daughter, my son is helping me, Father, please don't let them go. Help them, bless them, increase them, enlarge them. You think those words are jokes? You better go and ask the 12 tribes of Israel. The words their father spoke years ago are the words they are living by today. I guess our generation has missed a lot of important things. That's why we think everything goes. But it's not true. I say it's not true. It's not true at all. I want to show you something. Actually, I'll talk about it by the time I finish this message. Now, look at the person sitting next to you. Wow. Tell them, you are either honoring or dishonoring. Tell them there is no middle ground. Yeah. You see, your daily actions are either honoring somebody or they are dishonoring somebody. There is nothing you do that is in the middle. There's nothing like that. So it's either you are the type that honors or you are the type that dishonors. Please, can I ask you a personal question? Which type are you? Can you ask the person next to you, which or what type are you? Are you the honoring type or the dishonoring type? What are they saying? John 8 verse 49. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my father. And he says, and you dishonor me. So there are only two ways. Either you honor or you dishonor. And Jesus is also giving you a very important information. Behind every dishonor, there's a demon. Yeah. What does it mean to honor? It means to hold in high respect. To hold in high respect. High respect. High respect. Children in particular, you should be listening to me with 3 ears and 4 eyes. High respect. High respect. To honor a person means you respect them highly. Highly. So the question is, do I respect my mother highly? Do I respect my father highly? Do I respect my pastor highly? Do I respect my teacher highly? Do I respect my boss highly? We just read the verse. All authorities are placed there by God. First, I think Romans 13, verse 1. Those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. By God. By God. So we are told to honor those in position of authority. What does it mean to honor? It's to have great esteem for somebody. You see, esteem is something you don't say it, but it's something that is in you. Esteem is like the way I view this person, I view them so highly. Like they occupy a special place in my heart. High esteem. High esteem. When we talk about self-esteem, we are asking, how do you esteem yourself? When we talk about high esteem to your father, how do you value your father, your mother, your pastor, your teacher, your boss, your counselor in your area? How do you esteem them? High esteem. I'm aware that your father might not be doing all the right things. I'm aware that your mother might not be doing the right things. But there's no verse in the Bible that says, children, judge your father. Children, judge your mother. Children, correct your father. There's no verse. Unfortunately for you, there's no verse for that. There's no verse that says, employee, correct your boss. Members, correct your pastor. There's no verse like that. Oh, do you know one? Maybe you should show me. What does it mean to honor? To honor means to show appreciation. To appreciate is a great sign of honor. When your father gives you 10 rands and you just take the 10 rands and you go, you are dishonoring him. It's dishonor. Appreciation means you keep saying thank you. Oh, these people are fighting the word of God. You know, yesterday, I pray that my children don't change. I'm not saying this, they are not even here. I just pray for them that they don't change, that they will keep that virtue of honor that they have. I took them yesterday to drop that pastor friend of mine in Joburg. On our way back, they said, Daddy, we want to eat KFC. So I stopped and I bought them KFC. As these my kids are eating the KFC, Daddy, thank you so much. I said, no, you are welcome. After a few minutes of driving with them, I just see at the back gate, Daddy, thank you so much for this KFC. I said, no, you are welcome, my children. Anytime. I'm so, like, and when they opened it, and my daughter, my other, she said, Daddy, help me open the drink. So I opened the drink for them. Daddy, thank you for opening the drink. Wow. I said, what is going on? You know, if those kids had said to me, Daddy, park the car, let's dance for 5 minutes. I was going to park the car and we're going to dance for 5 minutes because my heart was happy. My heart was happy. They didn't give me anything, but they showed appreciation. Little appreciation could take your life to the highest height. If you could stop complaining, if you could stop saying all the wrong things, you start appreciating the fact that you have a job. Your boss or your leader must have done something right for you to have a place where you can go and get a salary. You can't appreciate that. You
devil can't appreciate that you are always crucifying him. Yet that is the hand that is feeding you. Do we pray for our leaders? Show appreciation. The Bible says in the last days, people will be ungrateful. Ungrateful. They don't recognize anything good you are doing. All they see are the bad stuff you are doing. Mercy. What generation is this? Even when you say, let's thank God, they've got nothing to thank God for. They are not used to thanking anybody.
I want to ask you a question. How many of us here have thanked your mother for the food she cooked yesterday? Last week there are a few people that thank their mother. Last month, don't lie. Last month, you thank your mother, Mama, thank you for cooking. I enjoy this thing. Last month, there are still a few hands that were grateful. And there's a hand there. You see, your mother is looking at you in a funny way as you are raising your hand. She's asking herself, did you thank me by WhatsApp or did you thank me by Wi-Fi? We've stopped appreciating. We are just enjoying. And we feel it's not even enough. My father in the ministry, he gave me a secret. I heard him preach and he said, those of you that always eat without praying for the food, that's why you are never full. So he said, when you pray before you eat the food, God multiplies the food. So when the food enters your stomach, it starts multiplying. So because you have thanked God for the food you are eating, so that when you, by the time you finish eating it, you are now full and you are happy. Some of you, even if I give you the whole pot, you will still be hungry. Because it's ungratefulness. You are not thanking God for the food. You are not thanking anybody for the food. The food says that you are not a good person. I cannot feel you. Even if you get food, within an hour, you'll be hungry again. From today, start thanking God before you take the food. You know, I learned something during the week. I took some of my guys somewhere, we're working somewhere. And then I bought food. And I said, let's pray. So I prayed. Me, I usually pray very short prayers. Father, I thank you for this food in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So say, everybody say, amen. I saw this guy. After we said amen, I saw he took his food. He went by the corner. I paused for a second. What's going on here? He prayed for a long time. And after that, then he opened the food. My son is rebuking my prayer. Hey. So the next day, I bought food again. I said, you pray for us. Then I understood. Father, thank you for this food. I thank you for Pastor Pascal. I thank you for Lady Pastor Pony. I thank you for my shepherd. I thank you for my shepherdess. I thank you for my family. They got prayer, a long prayer, thanking God for everybody. Then I understood that, no, he is used to praying like this. That's why when I prayed, Father, we thank God, this is the name of Jesus, amen. Ah, he said, no, you know what? Pastor, thank you for the prayer, but let me pray my own prayer. Put your hands together for Jesus. Look, I see you praying for your food from today. When you go home today, don't just attack the thing like a dinosaur. That a dinosaur that hasn't eaten for a month. You go with your hands and your legs and your head. No, 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 no. Say, Father, realeboka. Modimo waka. Ahe. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for the food. Thank God. Be appreciative. And quickly, what does it mean to dishonor? It means to not show respect or value for somebody. When you don't show respect, I've said this before. If your father enters the house and you are watching a movie with the volume high, and your father enters the house and you continue watching your movie with your video high, you are not showing respect to your father. You're not showing respect. At least reduce the volume. There must be something you can do to acknowledge that your father has arrived in the house. I mean, you cannot leave things the way you've been doing them, and he enters the house, it's as if nobody entered the house. You are still doing it the way you were doing it, and he's just moving around. Even when he greets you, you can't hear him because of how high the volume is. This is what this generation does. We are being delivered in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I said we are being delivered in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. You enter your father's room without knocking. You just enter. It's dishonoring. It's dishonoring to enter your father's room when he's not there. And to start checking in his drawers. It's dishonoring to go through your mother's clothes when she is not there. It's very dishonoring. It's very dishonoring. To be checking through your father's files. I want to ask you a question. Is he your friend? Is your father your friend that you are checking his files? You're going through his phone. Reading messages people have written to him. Abba. It's dishonor. It brings curses. It brings curses. This is the curse of Ham that I talked about last week. Ham entered his father's room without knocking. And when he entered his father's room, he found his father naked. The reason why he could find his father naked is because he didn't knock. He didn't knock. And you know why he didn't knock? Because he was used to dishonoring his father. He did so many other things before that day. He's used to talking back at his father. He's used to taking money from his father without saying thank you. So his father is like his friend. He can just enter his father's room and he finds his father naked. But to show you that he was used to humiliating his father, when he found his father naked, rather than keeping quiet, you know what he did? He went outside and started telling people, go and see that fool. Go and see that fool. He's now sleeping in there naked like Adam and Eve. This is you taking your father's matters at school, telling your friends about things that are going on in the house. What business do they have to know anything about your father and your mother? I'm asking you a personal question. Who are they? Who are they that you are telling them about what is happening at home? What can they do about it? What can they do about it? It's dishonoring. Is highly dishonoring to take your personal matters from inside the house to outside the house. To people that cannot pay school fees, but they are knowing about your father's drinking problem. I think I should stop this message. You guys are not, you're not interested in such things. I'm telling you. When I'm talking about the scripture, sometimes you can find the scripture. You understand? Okay, you guys must be in tune. Number two, to dishonor means to treat as common. When you are treating someone as common, you are dishonoring him. To treat as common. Some of us, your father is a common man. Your mother is a common woman. Your husband is a common man. There's nothing special about them. You treat them common and light. There's not one sign that shows this is not a common person. There's nothing. There's nothing that reveals that this person is not common. To treat a person as common is the highest form of dishonor, especially if the person is an authority. No sign of honor in the way you are talking to him, in the way you are relating with him, in the way you are treating him. No sign of honor. And yet we turn around and ask ourselves, why are things not going well? This is why things are not going well. This is why things are not going well. And they are not going well for a reason you are taking lightly. You see, when I'm teaching about honor today, you think it's a joke. But this is the reason behind Ham's descendants being in a terrible situation today. One act of dishonor from Ham has destroyed his race completely. And if you check the scriptures, you are part of his race. Ham is the father of Ethiopia, Libya, and Lebanon, meaning Ham is the father of Africans. And like I said in my message last week, today, African people are the ones that honor the most. But it's too late. The day we were supposed to honor, we didn't honor. A curse fell on us. Today, we are the ones honoring everybody. It is too late. People that honor their day, some of them today have become staunch rebels. But the blessing is flowing. Because the word was spoken in Genesis 9. It's still standing today. To dishonor is to treat as ordinary. To treat as ordinary. When you treat your father as ordinary, you are dishonoring your father. You treat as ordinary. You treat your husband as ordinary because you are mates. You grew up together and he married you. You went to the same school. You are from the same neighborhood. The Bible says, even after all the mistakes of Abraham, Anna kept calling him, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. We are changing in the name of Jesus. I say we are changing in the name of Jesus. I want to quickly show you the disasters that follow dishonor. There are great disasters. When you dishonor people, nothing might happen the day you dishonor them. But things will follow. And sometimes when those things start happening, you cannot fix, you cannot reconnect. Like you don't know where is it coming from. Because sometimes when you dishonor today, it doesn't manifest now. That's why people think they can get away with murder. Mark 6, verse 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet, a leader, a husband, a pastor, a manager, a teacher. You can put your anybody that is the authorities in your life, you can put them there, whoever they are. That person is not without honor, except in his own country. Yeah. You know, when this friend of mine came here, just by spending time with him, I remembered what my life in Cameroon was. I could just remember. This is one of the major reasons why God took me out of that place. One of the major reasons. Because your countrymen, as far as they are concerned, you are what they know you are. And you will always be, as far as they are concerned, what you are. Your countrymen. So most of the time, for God to really lift you, he takes you out of those people. Because they don't believe in you. As far as they are concerned, you are the same person that they've always known. So they don't honor you. They don't respect you. They don't see anything in you. So sometimes God moves you away from them so that he can bless you. Because as long as you are with them, just the way they relate with you, you will realize nothing is going to go anywhere. His country, among his own relatives. Do you see the verse? Your relatives, your cousins, your aunts. Those people don't believe in you much. It's not their fault. They've seen everything about you growing up. So, you are always the little shiko. It's not. And look at this. In his own house. This is the word speaking. Jesus Christ is telling you the three areas where dishonor is most likely to happen. In your country, among your relatives, in your own house. In your own house means that where the father, the mother, and the children are. It's going to happen there. You'll be dishonored there if you are not careful. Verse 5. Now, look at the most interesting scripture. He could do no mighty work there. Not everywhere. There. Where he was dishonored. Where he was not respected. Where he was not valued. There. He could do no mighty work. Please read the Bible well. It doesn't say he would not do. He could not. There's a difference. If you say he would not, meaning he didn't want to do. His will, like to will. But you say he could not. This speaks of capacity and ability. That even though Jesus wanted to do, something stopped Jesus from being able to do anything there. When a pastor is dishonored, no matter how anointed he is, his power will not work on the people. When a father is dishonored, no matter how blessed he is, his blessing will never work on his children. And something funny starts happening that people outside that don't know him personally, they are the ones that receive everything from him. The people that know him, the people that are with him every day, get nothing. Because in their presence, he is nothing. So his power cannot work. His power cannot work. That's why so many churches remain small. They are not small because that's the will of God. They are small because the church dishonors the pastor. And when dishonor happens, power is shocked. Power is blocked. Power cannot flow. Even Jesus, the owner of power, could not do anything where he was dishonored. He couldn't do anything. He could do no mighty work. Except, you see, leftovers. Small things there and there. Nothing of meaning. Nothing of meaning. I tell you, if you take me back to Cameroon now, I will shrink back to, I don't know. Yeah. Because the people so utter contempt. There's nothing, they don't see nothing in you. You are nothing. You are nothing to them. So God has to remove you from them and place you somewhere where at least I came to South Africa and my South African brothers saw something in me. They said, no, this man is a good person. He's a blessing. This man is helping us. This man is a great person. We believe in this man. We believe what this man has. And guess what? The power in me started working. There was power in me, and that power started working because I came where people believe in me. Whenever you are among people who believe in you, you will be surprised at what you can achieve. You will be shocked. You will be shocked at what is inside of you. When you are in a place where people say, no, you can do it. Oh, no, we believe you have it. Oh, no. Once you are in such a place, your capacity is multiplied. So I want to give you an advice. Run away from people who don't believe in you. Don't just walk away. What did I say? Run away. Run away. No matter who they are. If you can sense, whenever I'm around this person, my things stop working. Run away from such a person. Look. Are you blessed with what I'm teaching you? Guys, are you blessed? Letabo, are you blessed? Letabo, are you blessed? Are you listening to me? I'm teaching you something very important for your future. Go back to Mark 16, Mark 6 verse 1. I want to show you where the problem came from. Maybe this is all I can share today. Today I wanted to teach you about those who cover their fathers. Not those who uncover their father, but those who cover their fathers. He went out from there and came where? Read. Came where? His own country. Jesus went home. Where he grew up. He went there. Thinking that I'm now among my own. Things will flow. And his disciples followed him. Verse 2. And he went. And when the Sabbath day had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Ah. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? Their question is not, wow, what a blessing. They are asking, where did he get this thing that he's teaching here? Where did he get these things? Where did he get these things? And what wisdom is this that has been given to him? What wisdom is this? That such mighty works are performed by his hand. They are not happy at all. They are asking questions of inquisition. They are asking, what is going on here? What is going on here? Look at verse 3. It will shock you more. Is this not the carpenter? Amen. What's going on here? Is this not the carpenter? Is this not the son of Mary? That is a bigger insult. Because you should be the son of your father. You cannot be the son of your mother. When somebody is referring to you as the son of your mother, they are saying you are a bastard. You don't have a father. That's what they are implying, that you are fatherless. So they are not associating him with Joseph. They are saying, no, this boy, this is a bastard. He's the son of Mary. She's the only one who knows what, where she went and carried this thing. He's the son of Mary. The son of Mary. Jesus never referred himself once as the son of Mary. Not even once. So you cannot tell me that they learned it from Jesus. There's nowhere in the Bible where Jesus said, I, the son of Mary. He said, I, the son of man. I, the son of God. I, the son of Mary. Now, he loved his mother to bits. We all know it. But this was not to praise him that he's the son of Mary. This was to question his nativity. Because if you see the flow of questions, is this not a carpenter? Meaning carpenter shouldn't preach. What are you doing with the microphone? You are a carpenter. Did you finish doing the chairs that we asked you to do last week? Are you done with the table that my neighbor gave you the order to do the table? What are you doing here preaching the gospel inside the church? You are a carpenter. And where did he go? His own country. This is what happens when you go to your country, among your people. Is this not the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? We know this guy. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. We know his house. We know everything about this guy. What is he trying to do? And the Bible says they were offended at him. So you now understand all those questions were not good questions. They were all questions of, they were not asking questions. They were questioning Jesus. They were questioning his anointing. They were questioning everything about him. They were not honoring him. So in answer to them, this is now the answer. Verse 4. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except where? And where else? And where else? So Jesus was telling them, I think I know where I have come. I am in my country. I am among my relatives. I am in my own house. So I should not expect any honor from here. I will get nothing from here. Nothing honoring will come from here. Nothing. Nothing. But that dishonor had a consequence, is that the power of Jesus stopped working. Every time you dishonor your father, his power stopped working on you. You dishonor any authority. As soon as you dishonor them, whatever they could do, they cannot continue doing it. They are dishonored. But you know, I'm so surprised. In the same country, in the same city, in the same area, Jesus is met by a man, the Bible calls him the centurion. The same place, Capernaum. A centurion meets him and says to him, Master, please come and pray for my servant. He is about to die. And Jesus answers the centurion and says to the centurion, I will come and pray for him. And the centurion says to Jesus, I do not deserve that you should come to my house. But who is speaking? A centurion. Do you know who is a centurion? A centurion is an official who has 100 soldiers under him. He has 100 soldiers under him. But that is not all. This centurion is the best. His country has occupied Israel. In other words, they are in the position of power. Like Jesus is in the position of weakness because Jesus is an Israelite and the person talking to him is a Roman. And the Romans have taken control over Israel at that time. So this is the strong talking to the weak. Not only is the strong talking to the weak, he has 100 people under him. That's why he's called a centurion. Legion is 6,000. Centurion is 100. Listen to his words. I do not deserve. Can you find it? It should be there. There you go. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. I am not worthy. Other people are questioning, who are you? Where are you coming from? We know you. You are useless. Another person in the same village says, look, I am not worthy that you should come to my house. And guess what? For this man's honor, Jesus says to him, go home. Your servant is here. Don't clap yet. The other ones that dishonored him, he could do there no might. No mighty works could he do where he was dishonored. But wherever Jesus was honored, power was flowing like crazy. Yeah. You know, I always remember this. I went somewhere, can't mention the place now for security purposes. I went somewhere to pray for people. And when I entered the building, I saw one of my daughters. She was in the building that day. But when I saw her, I didn't consider a lot of things. But I noticed that the power of God was flowing through me in a very unusual way. So when I went home, I was a bit perplexed about it. Like, why is it that today, because usually I pray there, nothing major happened. But that particular day, as I'm praying, then the Holy Ghost brought that my daughter's picture to my mind. And I didn't understand why until I started studying honor. Then I realized he was trying to tell me, you see, today in the building, there was one person that honors you with every, like for her, once you arrive, she feels, even the roof should lift. And because she was present, honor was present. And because of that honor that was present, the power started working easily. Compared to when you are somewhere and say, does he even have power? Did he fast? I'm not sure about this guy. I'm not sure. Why is he using oil? What is behind that oil? Is he trying to hypnotize us? You see, when you start asking those questions, you are breaking power. I think I should stop this machine. I'm telling you the truth. I realized that the reason why the power was moving, I just entered the building, people started manifesting. And I took note, that daughter was in the church. And I know how she will honor me. I know. Honor works for your advantage. For your advantage. For your advantage. Never become familiar with your pastor. It's your end. It's your end. The day you become familiar with your pastor, anything he has will never come to you. It will never come to you. You can mark that in red somewhere. If you dishonor your father, whatever he has, and you are saying, what does my father have? I mean, he has nothing. Okay, well, how come you are here if your father has nothing? How did you end up here? Because, don't make me go. Don't make me go there. Don't make me go there. Give the man some credits. I said, give the man some credits. I'm just going to brush up on the message I wanted to preach this morning. Because I'm showing you those who uncover their fathers. Ham uncovered his father by dishonoring his father. Michal uncovered her husband by dishonoring her husband. And the Bible says she was barren till the day of her death. And the Bible doesn't... Okay, give me the scripture of Michal in the book of 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, somewhere there. Yeah. You know, David was welcoming the ark of the Lord in the city of David. And David started dancing. Oh, David started dancing. He started dancing. Then a certain level arrived. You know, in a song, there are dimensions in the song. There's a moment where you are cool. But a moment in the song arrived where David started doing like this. You know, the wife of David, Michal, the Bible says she was watching David from the window of the house, upstairs. You see, that is where the problem actually starts. I want to ask you a question. The whole city is on the streets welcoming the ark of God. One woman has decided to not come down. She is upstairs watching from the window. Isn't that already a big sign that something is wrong with this woman? That everybody is on the streets celebrating Jesus. Young man, please sit properly. My boy, please sit properly. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. That everybody is celebrating on the street. Michal is in her room upstairs, observing from the window. Then she sees her beloved husband. I like a move, move. Move. I like a move, move. I like it. She said, find the scripture says she despised him in her heart. She never said a word. There you get it. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal. The Bible doesn't refer to Michal as the wife of David. Nowhere, even though she was his wife. Nowhere. The Bible doesn't mention that she was the wife of David. The Bible refers to her every time, the daughter of Saul. How can you be married, but you are still referred to as the daughter of somebody? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Her dishonor was such that the writer of the scriptures would not give her the honor of being called the wife of David. Until her death, she was referred to as the daughter of Saul. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David limping and wailing before the Lord. And guess what? She despised him in her heart. And you know, it's a matter of time. Whatever is happening on in your heart will come in your mouth. Everything that you might be hiding it for now, but it's a matter of time. Your mouth will give away. So when the opportunity came, she went for David.
She blasted him. Her husband. Now give me the verse I gave you. David is not talking back to her. So he says to her, I will be even more undignified than this. Because she was saying to him, you have undignified yourself. You've removed your clothes before slave girls. What type of man are you? He says to her, I will be more undignified. And I will be more humble in my own eyes. But as for those maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. So what was David addressing in his wife? Dishonor. He was telling the wife, you are dishonoring me by the way you are talking to me right now. But those women you are mentioning, they will actually honor me. They will honor me. But look at her punishment. Verse 23. Look at it. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. You see, the Bible says, therefore, every time you see therefore, find out why is it therefore. It is there for a reason. Therefore means based on this, this is the effect. So I can assure you, all of us that struggle to get people to church, you are always unable to produce fruit. Like, it's difficult for you to get any results. Check honor or dishonor. Just check it. Are we blessed this morning? Sit down. Let me finish. Those who cover their fathers. I believe you are among those who will cover their fathers. I say, I believe you are among those who will cover their fathers. Now, you will not be among those who expose the weaknesses of their fathers. You take pictures of your father with his pot belly. You go and show your friend, look at my father's pot belly. Look at this man. Keeps eating pap. Every day he's eating pap. We say to him, you must go to the gym. He doesn't want to go to the gym. Look at my father's pot belly. He's got a pot belly like a pregnant woman. Look at this. Excessive drinking. He's pregnant with alcohol. Those who uncover their fathers. I have said this in this church and I'm going to say it again. You are seeing the mistakes of your father today because you are a child. I just ask myself, when you become his age, how are you going to be? I will not be like that. Don't speak so quickly. Because I don't think he was the way he is when he was your age. Don't you understand that? When your father was your age, he was not the way he is now. So what makes you think that when you are his age, you will be the way you are now? It's not obvious. The quickest way to repeat your father's mistake is to criticize your father. And the quickest way to never repeat your father's mistake is to honor your father. Every time you honor your father, it's like a force comes to protect you from not doing what he's doing. I'm speaking in parables at the same time. Are there things your father is doing now that you wish he was not doing? Guess what? You might do them exactly when you are his age. And for you to not do them, don't criticize him today. Do as if you are not seeing. And I want to show you the verse to use. Whenever your father is in a place of mistake, do what these guys did. Genesis, I think 9. Verse 20. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. 21. When he drank some of its wine, what happened? Was Noah born drunk? He became drunk.
You might not realize that your father was not always a bad person. He became a bad person because of certain influences. Noah did not become drunk because he was born a drunkard. There's something that made him drunk. There's something that would make your father bad. There's something that affects people and they become this. People are not born like that. He became. There was a time when he was not drunk. That's why your mother married him. Do you really think that your mother was going to marry a monster? I'm talking to myself. I'm asking you a question. Do you think that your mother was going to marry a monster? So do you realize that maybe there was a good part about this guy before? And he became drunk. He became evil. He became a cheater. He became a violent man. He became an armed robber or whatever. He became. Before you are criticizing his drunkenness, ask yourself, what caused this? What could be the cause? Why did he become like this? It will be good for you to do that because you might repeat it. I say you might repeat it without knowing. So he became drunk and lay uncovered inside where? Did Noah go outside to show himself? Where was he? Let me ask you a personal question. When you are in your room, hey, my God, some of you, you are worse than Noah. When you are in your room, am I talking to the right church? When you are in your room, tell your neighbor, you know yourself. You know the things you do in the room. When you are in your room, Noah was in his tent. He was not. Look, back then, it was not like the way it is today, where you have a house with four bedrooms. These days, you had a tent. So there is a tent here. There's another tent there. There's another tent there. So he was in his tent. I want to ask you a question, my brother. Is it wrong to be naked in your tent? All of you, you are looking well dressed now, but you were naked this morning in your tent. For you to wear the clothes you are wearing, these clothes didn't fall from the sky. You were, sorry to say the word, but you were naked this morning. But where were you naked? In your room. And nobody has arrested you for that, because that is the right place to be naked. So naked was uncovered. Noah was uncovered inside his tent. Inside. He was inside. Inside his tent. Look at verse 22. Ham, the son of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness. How did he see it? If I'm in my room and it's a tent. Tent then, it's just a door at the entrance. That's it. There's nothing else. So for you to see me naked inside my tent, what happened? You went inside. That's number one. Number two, you didn't knock. You didn't knock. Those of you that are here, that are used to not knocking doors, you know the stuff you have seen before. Yourself, you know. For not knocking. You went there like you are the owner of the house. What lesson are we lacking? Learn, always knock. Never assume. Knock the door. Can I come in? You know? He saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers outside. So he took the matter outside the house. He went and told other people. Something that happened inside the tent was now outside the tent because of Ham. Look at verse 23. So arm is those who uncover their fathers. But look at verse 23. But Shem and Japheth. I pray that from today, your name will be mentioned in this verse. But brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and lay it across their shoulders. Do you know what are shoulders? Shoulders speaks of responsibility. Every time you go to carry a burden, you put it on your shoulders. So these two children took the mistake of their father as their responsibility. We will deal with this matter. We will handle Kola Mashata Prekata Masinte Prakote Paladaya. They say we will deal with this matter. We are making it our responsibility. We were not there when our father did what he did. But we will make it our responsibility to handle this problem. They put it across their shoulders. And they walk backward. They enter like this. Ham enter like this. Hey, Charlie, what's happening? Eta. As far. Fede. Yeah. But Shem and Japheth, they took some responsibility. We know our father is not in a good space. This is not the time to judge him. This is not the time to accuse him. Let's take the responsibility. Let's own up. Let's handle it. They entered backward. And guess what they did? They covered their father's nakedness. Their father is naked. It's a bad thing. But they covered it. When you cover something, you make it impossible to see. And you cover the problem. The things you did covered your father's nakedness. People could have been embarrassed by your father. People could have laughed about your father. But the way you behave, you covered your father's nakedness. You covered his nakedness. And the Bible says, and their faces were turned the other way. So that they will not see their father's naked. So they made a conscious decision. We know he's naked, but we're not going to see it. We refuse to look at it. This is when you start investigating your pastor. What did he exactly do? Please come and give me the details. You want to know. You are interested. Like you are not trying to cover nothing. If anything, you want to uncover and project it to the sky. Today, all YouTubers are making money by uncovering. Show me one YouTuber that is making money by covering. Show me one. All the good things the pastor is doing, they will never mention. But they will go for any small mistake. Or they will amplify it. 2 years ago, some YouTuber paid a woman to lie about the man of God. Yes. They paid her to lie about the man of God. And the young man that was supposed to record the interview, he was the one of the members of that man of God. He grew up in the church of that man of God. So when he realized what was happening, he said, you know what? I'm going to reverse this thing. I'm going to record everything that is going on here. And I'm going to shoot before he shoots. To expose them. Amen. To expose them. They knew their father was naked, but they refused to see it. Yeah. You can know your father has got a problem, but you refuse to see it. Because that is not none of your business. That is none of your business. Don't focus on that. Secure your future and rather cry for yourself that when it is your time, you should not be naked. Pray for yourself that when it is your time, you shouldn't be naked. Pray for yourself. I said, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Because if you ask Solomon, Solomon was feeling that his father has got too many wives. When it was his time, he had 1,000 wives. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. So those who cover, they make a decision to not focus on their father's mistakes. It's not that my father doesn't have mistakes. I know my father has mistakes. But I refuse to make that the focus of my life. I refuse. It's a choice. Ham chose to look at the father's mistake. Shem and Japheth chose to not look at the father's mistake. And if you look at the end, one was blessed, the other one was cursed. As I close, those who cover their fathers will not easily get offended at their fathers. Look, I'm just speaking a few things. If you want the full message, you need to go online. I've preached the whole message online. You'll find all the points. But if you want to cover your father, decide to not get easily offended at your father or your mother or your pastor or your boss or your leader, whoever that father is. Decide that I will not easily get offended by this person. Matthew 11 verse 6, the Bible says, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Can I give you a little advice? When it comes to your father, your mother, your pastor, people of authority, tell yourself, as far as I am concerned, this person will be like a doctor to me. A doctor. You know, when you go to a doctor, you know very well, he's going to give you pills, bitter pills. But you get angry at the doctor for giving you bitter pills. And you say, this doctor, you always give me bitter pills. What kind of doctor are you? And I came with pain, and you are giving more pain. The doctor will give you bitter pills, and you will swallow them with joy. And guess, and then you will pay him for giving you bitter pills. Then you will even say to him, doctor, if the pills don't work, please, I will come again. You will ask, these pills the doctor gave you are bitter, but you are saying you will come again. Why? Because you've learned to see beyond the bitterness of the pills. You see that this doctor wants my good. So I will overlook the bitterness for the greater good. Sometimes you go to him, he doesn't go for pills. He takes a syringe and it's Ariel. Give me your back. Pew! You think, no! It's so painful. Then you say, hey, doctor, one is not enough. Give another one. Pew! Pew! After that, you pay. Thank you so much, doctor. You are such a good doctor. You pay. Then he says, come again. He says, yes, doctor, I will come. First thing in the morning, I will be here. Despite all the pain doctors have caused us, we keep going to doctors because we know after the pain comes the relief. So for you to go well with your pastor, your father, your mother, all these authorities, see them as a doctor. Somebody you don't get angry with, even when you are afraid, even when you are angry, you don't allow the anger. This is my last verse. This woman mastered the principle. Matthew 7:24.
From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered the house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. 25. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. So the woman had a child that had an unclean spirit, and she came and fell at the feet of Jesus. 26. The woman was a Greek woman, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She kept asking. Understand, she didn't ask once and Jesus blessed. No. She kept, because Jesus was not interested. 27. But Jesus said to her, look, now that Jesus is speaking, do you understand that? All along, she's asking, he doesn't speak. When he decides to speak, he says, let the children be filled first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. My Jesus. Look, Jesus didn't call her a dog. He called her a little dog. It's worse. So she's not even at the dog level. She's at a little dog level. You know what I'm happy about? I'm happy this woman was not South African. The Bible even tells us who she was. I thank God she was not a South African woman. Look at her answer. She answered and said to him, yes, Lord. You will not say that she's not South African. No, I'm asking you, do you not see that this woman is not South African at all? Jesus has called you a little dog. And your answer is, yes, Lord. Yes. South African woman. Aibo. Aibo. Small healing. I came here for small healing. You're already calling me a dog. Huh? This is gender-based violence, my friend. You are abusing me verbally. By the time this one was going to be done with Jesus, police was going to be there. Social security, everything was going to be there. Aibo. Kanja ni Jesu Murena. Hey. But this woman says, Yebo Baba. Yebo Baba. Yes. Yes. I agree. I am a little dog. Yes. And she goes a step further. She says, yet, even the little dogs under the table. She took it even further. She said to Jesus, look, I am even under the table. Me, I'm under the table. The little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Ooh. This is when Jesus was taken by surprise. I didn't expect that answer. Based on the circumstances, you are supposed to pick yourself and leave and go call your husband, call the police. They say, you call yourself a man of God. You call yourself a man of God. You are calling me a dog. I've been following you around the whole day. You don't even answer. When you finally answer, you're calling me a dog. Who trained you in the ministry? Who is your father?
say, yes, Lord. I am a little dog. I accept it. But even the little dogs, they eat the crumbs. Verse 29. And Jesus said to her, for this saying, meaning based on your answer, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Hallelujah. Go your way. The demon has gone out. So she honored Jesus at the place where she had the right to get offended. She kept honoring the Savior. When it hurt the most, she has a daughter that is about to die. She has a preacher that is insulting her. She has every right to fight back. But she contained herself and continued honoring the man. And she was greatly rewarded. You shall be greatly rewarded in the name of Jesus. Now, I've only given you one point on that whole message, the one I've just given you. The message had 5 points. Five things that those who cover their fathers must do. I only gave you one. All the other four, you can find them on the cast box. Show the cast box. And you can find them on YouTube. I want to recommend that you go and watch. Go and watch and listen. This message will change your life completely. I say completely, completely. A lot of things are going to change in your life. Why do you think God laid on my heart to honor my father in the ministry on the 3rd of November? Do you think everything has always been nice? My father in the ministry is my elder brother. Same father, same mother. And you know the Bible says that among your relatives, that is where dishonor is coming from. So you can imagine what I need to do to rise above that, to say, you are not my elder brother. You are my father in the ministry. And I will honor you. And I said, all the branches will come together. And I said to the pastors, tell the people to not pay for transport. I will organize their transport. They must just come here. And I said, all they need to do to honor my father, bring a little gift. That's what I'm asking for. I want us to saturate him with gifts. He must come and stand here. If you have 5 rand, put it in an envelope. Come and give him the envelope. Whatever you have, it's a great opportunity to show appreciation, to show honor. It took me years for my heart to change and to not look at this. And see, our surnames are different. You can easily think that we are not from the same. Same father, same mother. Not my cousin. No, no, no. Same father, same mother. He's the one God used to bring me in this country. I was never going to be here. I lived in his house for 3 years, ate his food, drank his water. My flight ticket was paid by him. On the 3rd of November, I will read for you the invitation letter. I kept it since 2005. He sent me the invitation letter in 2005 in the month of August. I entered the plane on the 22nd of August, 2005. I landed in Johannesburg on the 23rd of August, 2005, 7 a.m. in the morning. I still have the original letter he sent me. I will read it here on the 3rd of November in its normal form. In 1997, he sent me a letter. He was in South Africa. He sent me a letter. I was at school. He sent me a letter and he said, study English. It will help you greatly. In 1997, you see me preaching in English today? He told me to study English. It will benefit me greatly. How can you forget? But over the course of years, he made a lot of mistakes, as everybody does. Do you want me to now put my focus on the mistakes and forget what he did for me? How do I know a doctor and this family? I know them through him. When he was pastor, that's when they came to the church. They didn't join the church only when I was there. From his time, then they started being in the church. And there are many other members like that, maybe not here necessarily. This is a great man of God. A great, very humble. He will never ask for nothing. You can live with him for a time, he will never hear anything. But I came here, I think around March. I was praying here up and down. And the Holy Ghost met me here as I'm going up and down. He says to me, organize a service this year. This year, don't take any gift from the people. Don't take any gift. This year, all the gifts, give them to your father. Organize a service in his honor to appreciate what he's done for you. That's why I'm begging all of us. I could kneel down if I had to say to you, please, on the 3rd of November, make it a point. Look, honor sometimes, even if you don't have anything, your presence is honor already. Just to come. This man is the one who raised the man who is blessing me. And the man who is blessing me wants to honor him on the 3rd. What can I do? That's why we are having the Father's Honor Service. And I'm teaching a whole series on the Father's honor. I don't want to be among those who uncover the fathers. Many people have uncovered this man. Many people have uncovered him. They have uncovered him on social media. They have uncovered him everywhere. I've decided to keep my mouth shut. It's not my place. What God asked me to do is to honor him. And because you are with me, I'm saying, let's join our hands together and let's honor this great man of God on the 3rd of November. And God is going to bless us greatly for doing that. Greatly. And let this be a lesson for you, for your own father. Can I tell you a story as I close? This happened in Ghana. Two sons were so mad at their father. I don't know what their father did, but they were so angry at him. They started fighting their father. They started fighting their father. But as they started fighting their father, one of the sons went to church. When he went to church, he found Bishop Dakiward Mills. And Bishop Dakiward Mills was teaching things similar to what I'm teaching you this morning. After the service, he went to Bishop Dag and says to Bishop Dag, you know what? The things you are teaching, honestly, that is what we've been doing. Like, me and my brother, we've been fighting our father like cat and dogs. Bishop Dag says to him, don't do that. Don't do that. No matter how bad your father is, don't fight your father. Never do that. Let God judge him. Let life judge him. Don't become the judge. Don't judge him. So the young man went back and decided that he will not fight his father anymore. But the elder one didn't come to church. So he continued. That same week, he took a cutlass. Do you know what is a cutlass? Huh? Panga. You know a panga? This thing you guys do when you are cutting grass on the road. You know those? He took a panga to beat his father with the panga. So the father started running. And he started following his father with the panga on the rear and the streets to beat his father. The younger one tried to stop him. So the younger one went to church and told Bishop Dad, my elder brother today took the panga, started following our father to beat him with the panga. Bishop Dad said, never get involved in that. That's terrible. Tell your brother to come and see me. What he did is terrible. To take a panga and following your father with a panga to beat him is terrible. Tell your brother to come and see me. That same week, the brother woke up, getting ready to go to work, dropped dead. Not sick, nothing. He dropped dead. The same week when he was following his father with the panga, he died that same week. And you see, Ephesians 6 verse 2 says, so that you shall live long. What he did was utter dishonor. I think this one, God didn't even allow him to live a week. He died the same way. You shall not die. As you make a decision from today to honor your father. Your father is a prisoner, honor him. Go to prison. Give him food. Visit him there from time to time. Never judge him. I'm telling you, am I teaching you this morning? Yes. Never judge that man. Yes. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Give him food. Call him on his birthday. Do what you can do. Leave the rest to God. And that, Pastor Ben, my father abandoned us. Leave it. God will deal with it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Let's stand up on our feet. I believe we can give a better clap for Jesus Christ this morning. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Come and lift up your hands and begin to appreciate God for the word that you received this morning. Raise up two hands and tell God you are grateful. Father, thank you for sending your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for pouring on us, Lord God, these treasures, Lord Jesus. Thank you that our hearts are good grounds and the word of God has been planted on good grounds and it will produce fruits, oh Father God. We will see the harvest of the seed that has been planted today, Jesus. And our lives are going to be changed and we're going to see different, we're going to become different people, Father God. We thank you for this word. We thank you for being merciful to us. We thank you, Father, for sending your word in season. You have had mercy on us. Your word has come to deliver us from destruction, the destruction of anger, the destruction of offense, the destruction of hatred towards our fathers, the destruction, Lord God, of dishonor. Father, John said while he was in prison, ask Jesus, are you really the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am. Go tell John that I am. That the sick are healed, the blind can see. Blessed are you if you are not offended of me. Thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us today. That also you have taken away all unbelief, all faithlessness today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you that we are spared from errors. We are spared from mistakes, from delusions, from deceptions. Thank you that we are spared today because you have spoken to us, Lord God. May you touch every heart here today. May you heal everyone that is broken in their hearts. May you redeem us. May you pull us out of the pits of darkness, oh God. The darkness of fear, the darkness of anger, the darkness of bitterness towards fathers in general, oh God. And even our mothers, my Lord. Some of us maybe are angry towards our mothers. Deliver us from them, oh Father God. That we may honor. Your word says honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with you and that you may live long. Father, we realize today that maybe the reason things are not going well for us, maybe the reason is things like we are perishing is because of dishonor. Be merciful continuously towards us, oh God. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, we are praying. With every head bowed this morning and every eye closed, you're saying, Pastor, thank you for speaking this word. I was lost. I was in darkness. Thank you. I thank God that God has used you to speak to me. I've been angry. I've been dishonoring. I've been bitter. I didn't even know how to relate to God as a father, because my father, my earthly father, my spiritual father, my father in ministry, or any other father that I could relate to, my authority has let me down so badly. I was going down the spiral of hatred, of unforgiveness, of bitterness, because I felt they abandoned me. I felt they failed me. I felt they let me down. I felt my father has embarrassed me. Thank you, Pastor, for speaking this word. I want to know God as a father. I want to honor God as a father, because from there, that's where honor to the spiritual father, the biological father, will flow from. And God is speaking this word to you today. He says, I want to restore. I want to turn the hearts of sons back to the father, and the hearts of the children back to the father. And you are here today, you are saying, my heart is so far. My heart is so darkened with sadness, with sorrow. I want to know God. Let it start with God. Let it start with you reconciling your heart to the heart of the father. God is the father. He said in his word in the book of Jeremiah, they will say, my father. So today is the day that you can say to God, my father. Before God can mend your relationship and make your heart all right, and before he can heal your heart, he wants to heal your relationship with him first. He sent Jesus so that you no longer relate to God as Adonai, as El Shaddai, as the great I am, as Jehovah only, but so that you can relate to God as our father. And he's saying, I'm looking for you. I brought you to church today because I'm looking for you, son. I'm looking for you, daughter. I want you to know that I am your father, Abba Father. I want you to come in. I want you to come in. My heart is open for you. Maybe you are here and the word is for you. You are saying, Abba, here I am, here I am, here I am. Help me. I don't want to be trapped by this bitterness anymore. It starts with a relationship with God. It starts with you surrendering to him. It starts with you saying, Lord, have my heart, have my heart. Heal my heart. Look, you are not the only one who got offended by your father. You are not the only one who got offended by somebody who's an authority. John, this question, the Bible says John questioned Jesus because he wondered, if Jesus is really the Messiah, why am I in prison? Maybe you were angry at God the Father too. And so God says, I want to help you. You've been deceived. The enemy capitalized on your ignorance. Today you can know God as your father. He wants to father you, and he will father you so beautifully. At the count of three, you are saying, God, here I am. I want to come to you. I want to know you as my father. Lift up your hand at the count of three, and we're going to pray with you. One, two, three. Raise up your hand. Hands are going up all over the building. Don't be ashamed. Raise it up. Raise it up, raise it up. You say, Abba, Father, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Maybe some of you never even said Daddy. You don't know how to say Daddy. You don't know how to say Papa. He's here. He's here, and he says, I want to be your father. I want to be your daddy. I want to father you. You can put your hand down. Maybe you are also here in this place. You've been born again. But to be honest, your heart has been closed towards spiritual authority in general. Because authority, you felt authority is dictative. Authority is whatever. You thought the enemy deceived you into thinking the way that you did. And you're saying, I want to come back. I want to mend things. I'm born again. I've learned about honor. I've known about honor. But to be honest, my heart became resistant. And even as Pastor was preaching, I felt that this word is not for me. I felt that this word is for someone else. Truly, truly, my heart is not right. I want God to fix me. I want my heart to be sensitive again. I want to know God as a father, and I want to honor the father that God has given me. Spiritual father, biological father. I want to be a man, and I want to be a woman of honor. If that's you today, you're saying, Lord, restore the spirit of honor. Restore the heart of honor in my heart. I'm born again. I go to church, but there's this honor in my heart. There's too much familiarity. There's pride. There's bootfulness. You say, I want to recommit. At the count of three also, lift up your hand high, and we're going to pray with you. One, two, three. Raise up your hand high. You're saying, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I want restoration of the spirit of honor. I want to honor. I want to honor. In Jesus' name. You can take a step. Once you've lifted up your hand for any of these altar call now, do the last thing. Take your step. Take a step and come and join us right here. You're saying, God, mend my relationship. Mend my heart. Take a bold step. Church, put your hands together for them as they take this bold step for Jesus. Come on, clap your hands for them. You can encourage them. You can encourage them. You can celebrate them. You can encourage them. You can encourage them. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. These people were lost. They are coming alive again. They were blind, but now they can see. Come on, celebrate what God is doing here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, there are many others that are still coming. Put your hands together for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So today is the day of salvation. You see, when you hear the word, do not harden your heart. You know that your heart is not well in alignment when it comes to the issue of honor. You know that you should be here. I want you to know that it's not too late for you to come. God wants to mend your relationship with him so that your relationship with others can be mended. You can also still come. If you're saying, hold on, Pastor, hold on. I want to come. I want to also be recommitted to Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for him. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Raise up your hands, your two hands to Jesus. You are standing before Adonai. Hallelujah. You are standing before God the Father. And he's making all things new today. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, so you are about to be in Christ. All things have passed away. Yes, the dishonor you showed, the anger, the bitterness, the hatred, all things are passing away right now by virtue of you praying this prayer with us today. Raise up your hands and see God and speak to God. Say, dear Lord Jesus. Come and say it like you believe it. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now I believe my sins are forgiven. My dishonor is forgiven. My anger is forgiven. My bitterness is forgiven. My hatred is forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I am born again. I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin. I'm free from the power of offense. I'm free from the power of dishonor. I'm free from the power of pride. I humble myself to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for giving me another chance, for restoring me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know that your eyes are beholding your people today. If they're taking a step, they're taking a stand, they're saying enough is enough with their life. Hang up on the past, hang up on mistakes of others, hang up on dishonor. Today, your people are making a vow. They are making a recommitment. Some of them are coming to know you for the first time. Lord, I pray, may your grace help them to live a life that honors you, that pleases you, Father God. May your grace and your spirit strengthen them. May you lead them. May you guide them as they face their next moment, their next day, their future. Because some of them have to go back to those relationships. Some of them have to go back and face those people who hurt them, who disappointed them. Lord, I pray that you will cost them and give them the grace to be like this woman who said, but I am like even little dogs. The humility of this woman that says, even little dog, to not consider themselves anymore, but to look at the bigger picture. Father, for them to be like the sons of Noah who covered their father's nakedness, that they will not go around anymore and talk and say things, but Father, that they will speak wisely like sons and daughters of the Most High. Today they become children of God, born of God, oh, world overcomers. Thank you that darkness has no hold on them anymore. They are living this place freed, redeemed. They are living this place liberated from the power of darkness and sin into the glorious power of God. In Jesus' Jesus' name. I cover them with the blood of Jesus, and I declare that the Lord is a stronghold of their lives. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.